Well, I definitely appreciate the service this evening. The Lord, all I can say is He's amazing. as far as I'm concerned, we can go home right now. But I do have a little thought, a little encouragement for everyone, including myself tonight. And I shared some similar thoughts of this at Myrtle. But the Lord has given a few other scriptures to add to it or change it a little bit. And it's actually, you could say, a part two to this morning. It wasn't planned that way, but appreciate Brother Ed's message, what the Lord had given him about the rich young ruler. And, you know, it was to all of us. It wasn't just to the sinners. It was to all of us. And as Brother Donnie was mentioning earlier, how the Lord looks upon us. And it's with compassion. It's with mercy. It's with love. And He wants to help us. And you know, that's the theme of the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation. All throughout the Bible. That is the theme of God's word. Is to redeem mankind. From what the serpent, what Satan did to tricking, deceiving Adam and Eve in the garden. And it seemed like it was downhill from there. And it was. But there was a bright and morning star that arose, thank the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He made a difference. He's made a difference in every one of our lives here tonight. And I appreciate that tonight. I want to start with a verse in Jeremiah, the 13th chapter. Familiar verse we've heard. This is not a new gospel, just some good old-fashioned scriptures tonight. Jeremiah, the 13th chapter, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. You see here, Jeremiah is dealing with the good old stubborn children of Israel. The ones that were back and forth, serving God, serving other gods, backsliding, getting back with the Lord, repenting of their ways and turning their back on, just back and forth. And here again, Jeremiah's dealing with them. And he's asking this question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Now let's just stop there and consider this in a realistic manner. Consider any animal out there. We'll just take, this is talking about the leopard. The leopard, the giraffe, the zebra. Can a zebra all of a sudden decide it doesn't like its stripes and it wants little spots on it? I mean, can a zebra really do that? No. And all these other, can a giraffe decide, see a hippopotamus over there and think, man, I'm tired of my long neck. I want a short neck. Can a giraffe do that? No. But it's the same with you and I. It's just like what it says here, that may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. You know what that's talking about? And it actually says it here in the margin, habits. The children of Israel had some habits of turning to other gods, of turning to the arm of flesh, of giving up on their God, okay, and turning to their own ways, marrying other women from other nations and worshiping these other gods and doing all these other things. But there were some habits there, and it's some things that were passed down perhaps by their fathers, their grandfathers, or by other, should I say, inferior kings, kings that weren't so great, kings that worshiped other gods as well. And so there were some things that they learned, some bad habits, is really what it was. And so it's like, is there any hope for you folks? That's what Jeremiah is saying here. Are you ever going to change? And this was a question that was asked perhaps numerous times, even in the book of Jeremiah. But I'm thankful there was an answer to this question. Because no, the leper can't change its spots. And the Ethiopian can't change the color of its skin. And we as humans, okay, we can't change ourselves by ourselves. Now granted, there are these self-help books, and there are things ways that, you know, people try to train. We'll just take, for instance, alcoholics. And I'm thankful there's, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous out there where I believe it's helped individuals get rid of that. But there's something so deeply rooted in there. You realize there's folks that I've heard them talk about where the first sip of alcohol they had, they were addicted. Or the first cigarette they smoked, they were addicted. And they would go for years addicted to that, until one that was greater than them came on the scene. And God delivered them. And they threw those things away, not even tempted with the smell of it again. Like, no, God delivered me of that. That is the answer we have here. And in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, this is Jeremiah's answer through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 30 and verse 8. Says, for it shall come to pass in that day. What's that talking about? What is that day? It's the day of salvation. The day of Jubilee. It's the day of Jesus coming, bringing salvation. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke. We heard about some of that yoke tonight, did we not? That people bound under these burdens, under these loads of these bad habits, they just can't break. It's just who I am. It's how my family's made up. It's how I was trained. It's how all these things. It's just who I am. And I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But you realize, this is what's so amazing, is Jeremiah, in one breath, he's asking this question, can a leper change his spots? Can you change your bad habits, your continual backslidings? And another answer that Jeremiah gave later is, the Lord will heal thy backslidings. In other words, Jeremiah, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was looking into the future that there is a day, there will come a day where there will be freedom, where those yokes will be broken, those bonds will be broken asunder, that there will be freedom, there will be liberty. Well, the encouraging thing is that didn't stop right after Jesus obviously was, you know, crucified, resurrected, and sent, you know, the day of Pentecost, and it was great and glorious, and the church was growing and abounding, and it didn't stop there. That same victory, that same overcoming power, that same deliverance, those same yokes can be broken today, right now, in the year 2012, August of 2012. It's still powerful. Thank the Lord. Well, and here is, in fact, I'm going to pick up where Brother Ed left off this morning. Matthew, the 19th chapter. The rich young ruler. In Matthew 19, and it was such a sad story. This rich young ruler had it right there at his fingertips. Could have been, who knows? Could have been another Apostle Paul, as Brother Ed was talking about. But here in verse 23, after he went away sorrowful, picks up verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, he's not just talking about worldly riches, the money. And that's perhaps he was dealing with the rich young ruler, and that was his hang-up. But it's going beyond that. If you're rich in other things besides God, other bad habits, okay, that you're full of bad habits, you're full of these weaknesses or these failures and all these things, that you have an abundance of them, and he's saying, shall he enter into the kingdom of heaven? And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And that was kind of disheartening to the disciples. They're thinking, well, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Have you ever heard someone ask that question? Have you ever heard someone in desperation saying, how can I ever change? This is who I am. I've been this way for years. And I don't know what to do. They're in desperation. And here the disciples are saying the same thing. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Thank the Lord. Those bonds, those yokes, those chains, whatever those bad habits, those tendencies, the failures, all those things, they don't have to continue repeating. Those backslidings, those things, they can be healed, okay? There is complete deliverance available. And here's the awesome thing. I mentioned complete deliverance, okay? Let's turn and read Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Hebrews 7 and verse 23. It's talking about some priests. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Let's just stop right there. You see, in the Old Testament, we know the history. God ordained priesthood, and that was a position where the priest would intercede. They would go into the tabernacle, into the temple, and they would burn incense, they would pray, they would sling the blood around, they do all these rituals, all these things to intercede for the people's sins, for their bad habits, for their failures, for all those things. The priest would go in and pray, intercede, and God would forgive him. And God would return blessings upon him again. He would bless them again. He'd deliver them. He would bring where they could go out and fight their enemies and gain the victories that were necessary. And that was by these priests. But here's the thing. Aaron, the first priest on record, you know, he soon died. Then there was his sons. Then there was the rest of the tribe of the Levites and all these priests throughout the years. They would live. They would serve. Then they would die. And here comes another one. They do this. They wouldn't last forever, okay? And that's what this verse is talking about. Truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That is my thought tonight. That God is able to not just save you and me, it's anyone out there, any of our loved ones that have struggled for years, and we're thinking, are they ever going to get those spots changed? Are they ever going to get those stripes changed? Are they ever going to, whatever the case is there ever any hope for them? I'm saying, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, there is hope. Through the unchangeable priesthood, through the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it says here, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank the Lord. You see, if we look into this word, the uttermost, what does it really mean? Well, I'll read you some definitions. It obviously means to deliver, to heal and preserve, not just a little bit, but to heal and preserve fully and entirely, completely. That's what uttermost means. So let's read this again. Wherefore he is able also to save them. That means anyone. Able to save them to the uttermost. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's read on here. Let's understand what this is really saying. That coming to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for him. You know what that's talking about? He ever liveth. That means, yes, it was for those in Jesus' days. And when the church was established, and when the young church of Jerusalem was established there, and they were growing by leaps and bounds, yes, it was for them. But it said, through all times. That means from now until the end of time. He ever liveth. This priest has not died. He's still alive on the right hand of the throne of God, still interceding for you and I. When there's times when we get down to pray and we get in our prayer closet and we want to get down to business, or we're driving down the road and we're needing to pray, and sometimes we can't even pray. We can't even utter the words because perhaps the burden is so great, and perhaps we've failed to an extent where like, oh Lord, I don't know what to do, or Lord, I have this weakness, or Lord, I have this tendency, or Lord, I have this habit, or perhaps you're praying for someone else that has those problems. It doesn't matter who it is. But there's times where the words fail us, and we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know what to ask the Lord for. We can't even put it in a sentence. Sometimes, as the scripture says, we just kind of moan and groan. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is interceding. He hears, just like was mentioned this morning, He's looking upon you and I. His little sheep. See, He's the shepherd. He's caring, and He could hear that faintest little cry when all the world and the chaos around us, but He hears us maybe 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away, 1,000,000 miles away, it doesn't matter. He hears that faintest little cry in our heart saying, oh Lord, what do I do? Oh Lord, help. And Jesus hears that faintest little cry. Isn't that wonderful? And He's able to say, okay, I have a plan. Father, would You help this dear child? Lord, would You help this little sheep that this pleading for help? They want to be saved to the uttermost. They want deliverance from this bondage, whatever it is. And I have the solution. My blood that was shed on the cross. That's what Jesus is saying, because He was able to then tell the Heavenly Father, Father, You remember Matthew, the Levite, the tax collector? Brother Ed mentioned this morning. He said, follow Me. He was a tax collector. He was used to ripping people off. He was used to taking advantage of them, being dishonest, and pocketing some of that extra money. That was his habit, okay? But God was able to deliver him. God was able to save him to the uttermost. And who was the other one? Zacchaeus. Same situation. God delivered him to the uttermost. And of course, there's Peter. You know his story. And of course, there's Paul. And what about Mary Magdalene? 7 devils cast out of her. Don't you reckon that her parents or her friends saying, I don't know what to do with this lady. She's been this way for years, and they couldn't count the number of devils that went her, but God knew how many devils were in her. And Jesus was able to save her to the uttermost and cast those devils out. You know, and then who was it? John Newton, the one that wrote the song Amazing Grace, God saved him to the uttermost. And then there was, oh, the list could go on and on. Well, Brother Stanley testified this morning. God changed him, changed his spots. You know, that should give us courage here tonight. That if there's anything in our lives, God's able to save us to the uttermost. And if there's anything of those souls that we are burdened for, that we've been, I've heard Brother Purvis put in prayer requests for his children numerous times. And you know what? That touches me. Because Brother and Sister Purvis, they've got a hold of something. They've experienced what it's like to be saved to the uttermost. They didn't get a hold of God when they were a little child. But in the latter years, they got a hold of the Lord and they've seen what God can do. And now they're burdened for their own children because they know what it's like to be in the chains of sin. And they've also felt what it's like to be freed of those things, to be freed of that bondage. And so therefore, Lord, help us to continue praying for our loved ones. And to, it's one of those things, what's the scripture say? Be ye not weary in well-doing. You know, sometimes it gets weary. When it's maybe your own struggles, or when it's struggling for someone else's soul, or for someone else's marriage, or for someone else's child, whatever the case is, it can get weary. Or when it's in the battles of affliction, it can get weary. But don't be weary in well-doing. What's the scripture say? Pray without ceasing. Even when you don't have the words to utter, you can still lift up your heart to the Lord and say, you don't have to say a thing. You can just lift your heart up to the Lord, and the Lord is looking at your heart. The Lord is mindful of every aspect of our lives, of our own thoughts and our feelings. The Lord knows how we feel. The Lord knows, you realize the Lord knows when you're embarrassed? You realize the Lord knows when you feel intimidated? The Lord knows when you feel like a failure? The Lord knows when you, the list can go on. The Lord knows when something kind of ruffles your feathers a little bit. The Lord knows those things. And the Scripture says He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Those things that the devil's trying to use to crush you, to destroy you, to try to lead you astray, to try to make you give up. You know, that's the devil's business. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's business is this Scripture right here. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. So let's all be encouraged tonight that with God, there is hope. With God, all things are possible. Don't forget that. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.